This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Uptown got its hustlers. The Bowery got its bums. 42nd Street got Big Jim Walker. He a bull-shooting son of a gun. Yeah, he big and dumb as a man can come. But he's stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim Ball just because. And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit into the wind, you don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim.
Oh yeah, never mess around with Jim. Like Jim Croce, right? Remember, that's a great song by the late, great Jim Croce. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show, Tampa Bay's libertarian radio voice. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. We will be talking in a few minutes with Doug Bandow of the Cato Institute about the nuclear threat of North Korea and how America should work with China to curtail this growing threat. I think you're going to be interested. Also, Andrew the Master Barber is going to join us. He will give us his take on Exxon Oil Chief Rex Tillerson becoming Donald Trump's Secretary of State. Is that a good pick? And more trouble for choirs, Christmas scenes. Very, very sad. We're going to talk a little bit more about it. Atheists are going to court to stop all kinds of these nativity pageants. We're going to discuss it. Why are they doing that? And in our ultimate top 10 list, Kelley Blue Book has come up with the top 10, their top 10 favorite cars for 2016. We are going to tell you what they are. Maybe you have one. So stay tuned for it. Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew the Master Barber. For the best haircut in Pinellas County, here's where you go. You go to the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580 in Clearwater. It is just west of the Countryside Mall. It is just directly west of Highway US 19. Look for the yellow sign with the red letters, Columbia Plaza. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, Saturday, 8:30 to 2. Please visit our website, thefreedomworks.com. TheFreedomWorks.com. Find out what we're doing. You can see who our guests will be. Everything. Big Ed sets up the podcast for you. You can hear the shows that we've done in the past, and you can listen to us live when we're on the air through our website from anywhere in the world. TheFreedomWorks.com. Well, I guess Rick Perry is the newest guy to climb on board. They made it official today. Trump says, Donald Trump will announce that his former, I guess, nemesis maybe, Rick Perry, the former Texas governor, will lead the Department of Energy. Do you remember when Rick Perry could not remember that that was one of the departments he would abolish? Do you remember that? It was kind of an awkward moment. He forgot about it. Now he's going to run it. The longest-serving Texas governor. He's thought to be Trump's top choice. Why is Donald Trump putting all of these former people that he butted heads with? I wonder if he's still got a spot for Mitt Romney, other than, you know, janitorial. I wonder if he's got a spot for him. Do you think he was just stringing Romney along on that Secretary of State gig? He had him over for dinner a couple of times. Do you think he was just... You know, it was like the ultimate payback, let him hang out there for a while and think he might get a position. Anyway, so Rick Perry is coming on board. Perry and Trump apparently have moved past their disagreements. They finalized the decision about the Energy Department on Monday over at Trump Tower. Here's what Trump said in a press release. As the governor of Texas, Rick Perry created a business climate that produced millions of new jobs and lower energy prices in his state, and he'll bring that same approach to our entire country as Secretary of Energy. So there you go. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Actually, Rick Perry is probably going to be a pretty good energy secretary. He knows a lot about oil. He was a board member for Energy Transfer Partners, which is attempting to build the Dakota Access Pipeline. Probably these pipelines that have been on hold during the Obama administration are going to be finished, done. You know what I mean? And I don't mean done as in they won't be. They will be constructed. That's what I mean. Anyway, very interesting. And speaking about business, small business is very, very excited about Donald Trump. First of all, look at the stock market. Are we about to hit 20,000? I think so. That's the highest it's ever been. And for those of you that think that Obama had anything to do with where the stock market is going right now, forget it. It's all based on speculation that Donald Trump is going to be very kind to business. Less regulations, lower tax rates. That's what's going on there. And small business owners, very excited. The National Federation of Independent Businesses, their index has jumped up. They have an index on what's going on with the potential for business. It went from 94.9 to 98.4. That apparently is its sharpest jump in 7 years. All of this increase in coming because of the U.S. election. Here is the chief economist, Bill Dunkelberg, I guess his name is. Says, this month we bifurcated the data. Well, I'm glad they bifurcated it because it makes it easier going down. Bifurcated the data to measure the results before and after the election. And it rose dramatically after the results were known, he says. So small businesses are excited. I suspect most large businesses are excited. And the stock market is booming. We're going to get an interest rate raise. But all in all, there seems to be some more, I guess, I don't know what it is. There is a little bit more optimism in the land. Trump so far is doing pretty good, you know, with these selections and the way he's handling himself, apparently. Anyway, let us take our break. When we come back, we got to talk about North Korea and China, and what China can do, and maybe what America can do with China to ease the threat. We'll be doing that with Doug Bandow, so don't go away.
So baby, can't you see that you were meant for me? I want your loving, yes sirree. I bet I wanna da-da-da-da hugging. I bet I wanna da-da-da-da kissing. So baby, please proceed to give the love I need. I want your loving, yes indeed.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
Toastmasters International from District 48 presents Toastmaster Talk on the Tan Talk Radio Network, helping the world become better leaders and speakers with your hosts, Brenda Alaco, Kathy Nabe, Lynn Perry, and Joseph Camerari.
Join Toastmaster Talk every Thursday afternoon at 5 o'clock right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tan Talk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Hi, this is Tim Del Toro.
And I'm Lou Angelwolf, and we are the Grease Gurus.
Our show is broadcast every Saturday morning live at WTAN, Tan Talk Radio, 1340.
That's 10 o'clock every Saturday morning for an automotive forum that is flavored with humor and insight.
We encourage you to call in and be part of the Grease Gurus show.
We'd love to have you, and we will certainly help you find your inner grease.
This show is sponsored by Tim's Performance Service Center in beautiful Tarpon Springs at 906 Verona Place, and you can reach us personally at 727-543-1601.
Aha.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning. Foggy Wednesday morning, by the way, here in Tampa Bay. Delighted to have back Doug Bandow of the Cato Institute. Doug is a senior fellow at Cato, specializing in foreign policy and civil liberties, and he has penned a piece about how China can help solve the North Korea problem by perhaps talking it over with the United States and developing a diplomatic strategy. Doug, welcome back to Freedom Works. You know,
happy to be on.
Yeah. Trump, the election, everything's going on, and we forget about North Korea. There it is, rattling its sabers all the time. It's like, I guess, the boy that cries wolf. We stop listening after a while to North Korea, and yet look what they're doing over there. They've got the biggest nut in the world that's running the country. So you have suggested that perhaps China and the United States should talk things over and figure something out, right?
That's right. I mean, a lot of folks here in the U.S. see China as the answer, but we can't dictate to China. It's a question of convincing them, and that's going to take some real work.
Well, so what do we do? I mean, there's a lot of people that think perhaps they've already developed a nuclear weapon or are very close to it in North Korea. We've got a guy that's unstable. What can China, what can go on other than China threatening North Korea somehow? But you wonder if Kim Jong-un would even listen to that.
Well, that's correct. We really don't know what would happen. You know, the North Koreans always have been very independent. They've always, in the Cold War, played the Soviets against the Chinese. Even now, their relationship with China isn't particularly good. So it is a question of trying to convince the Chinese to put a lot of economic pressure on, along with basically making some kind of an offer, which is, if you give up nukes, here's what you get out of it, and you hope with the Chinese pressure they accept. It's kind of a last-ditch effort, a Hail Mary, say, for a football team, throwing that long pass on the last play. But we don't have much else out there that's working.
Now, the Cato Institute is libertarian. They don't normally like to see the United States get involved in what's going on in other countries. But, of course, when we talk about North Korea, we're talking about somebody that could drop a bomb on somebody at some point, right? So how do you balance the Cato's philosophy of keeping out of other affairs with, suggesting perhaps the United States talk with China and figure out something to do with North Korea?
Well, my view is, and I think Cato's view is, we're internationalists in the sense that we think we should be involved in the world. I think the world's a fascinating place, and there's a lot of opportunity for cooperation with other peoples. We're very skeptical of American military intervention. We don't think that wandering around kind of invading other countries and nation building and international social engineering are things that work very well or normally are worth the cost. But our view is the world would certainly be a better place if North Korea didn't have nuclear weapons. So we'd like to find a way to do that. We're over there right now. I mean, we'd be happy to pull U.S. troops out. But our view is let's use that as part of a negotiating process with China. Mm-hmm. How do you come up with something that can make everybody better off, including, frankly, the North Koreans? And we'd love to see that regime disappear and free up the poor North Koreans who are suffering so much.
Sure, sure. You know, it's interesting. The North Korean War, we had a truce as of 1953. Most of us were not even alive back then, and the truce is still going on. I mean, at some point, should something be done about that? I mean, how does all of this work out? It's like this is the longest truce in the between two countries that I can think of.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It would be nice to have a peace treaty. the North Koreans have claimed that they would like to have one. So, again, it gives us, in my view, a bargaining chip, which is they want to negotiate, get a peace treaty. Well, that's one of the things you offer the North Koreans. We're happy to sit down and talk about that. I mean, it also has to involve the South Koreans and the Chinese who are also fighting. But we should be quite open to that, I think. I mean, isolation hasn't worked. You know, we should be skeptical of, frankly, anything working. But no one, I think, really wants the North to have not only an existing arsenal, but a growing one. So we've got to start looking for other options. And one of those is in, you know, getting the Chinese more involved.
Now, we have we've got sanctions on North Korea. I don't know if they work or not. But, you know, the sanctions always hurt the people that are innocent in the country, right? I mean, that's what happens. Economic sanctions, I mean, it's not going to hurt that nut that's running it. He's got, you know, he's stealing money, I'm sure, and, you know, he's going to be fine. But it's all the other people. So are sanctions like that a good idea?
Well, I think, yeah, sanctions are a tool you can use, but the point you make is absolutely right, is that for the most part, regimes seem to get along pretty well. I mean, Saddam Hussein lived a very good life despite oil sanctions. You know, you find most of these dictators out there, you know, the military regime in Burma, which had been sanctioned. I mean, you know, the folks at the top manipulate the system and take advantage. You know, there's been an attempt at what they call smart sanctions, that is to sanction individuals involved in the regime, you know, some of the billionaires associated with Putin, for example. And that's perfectly fine, but we shouldn't expect that to bring down the regime. Unfortunately, the history is sanctions aren't very good at actually getting regime change. You know, the one thing that regimes try to do is they try to survive, and they work around sanctions if they can.
Yeah. We're talking with Doug Bandow. He is the senior fellow at the Cato Institute. He specializes in foreign policy and civil liberties. He's written a piece for Cato, "Will China Solve the North Korea Problem? The United States Should Develop a Diplomatic Strategy to Persuade Beijing to Help." You know, Doug, I think about Kim Jong-un and North Korea to some extent the same way I thought about Fidel Castro. Here is a guy on a little island, as it were, completely dominating his people under a communist dictatorship, all kinds of horrible things going on, very backward country, everything tough on all of the people. And I always think to myself, why can't the people rise up and overthrow somebody like that? Well, they didn't do it, of course, with Cuba, and they're not doing it in North Korea. I guess it's because if you get enough people in place in a military and threaten everybody else, you're going to be okay. I maybe I'm naive, but you would think that there would be some faction that would be able to rise up and get rid of these dictators.
Well, the challenge is always it's hard to organize against the guys who have the guns.
Yeah.
So, and you don't want to be the first person. You get shot down.
That's true. Yes.
I mean, it works when there's when the regime weakens. I mean, the reason the, you know, I would argue that the kind of the Eastern European countries fell ultimately was, you know, they couldn't actually trust their militaries, and the folks at the top, you know, enough of them started to get squeamish. That, you know, they just weren't that good old, you know, Joseph Stalin murder everybody wasn't there. I mean, East Germany's a good case, where apparently Honecker, the dictator, wanted actually to shoot the demonstrators who were starting to increase in number, and the rest of the Politburo basically said, "You're nuts," and they removed him. But when they wouldn't shoot the demonstrators, you know, everybody in East Germany understood what was going on, so the demonstrations increased in size.
Yeah.
But, you know, so far it appears that at least the folks in North Korea, he takes care of kind of the elite in Pyongyang. He takes care of the military. Well, it's very hard to organize from the countryside. So people flee. They do a lot of other things. I think at some point it'll come down. But we just haven't gotten to that point where enough of the elite themselves are willing to take out.
Well, he's been taking out some of his own elite, hasn't he? He's been knocking off uncles and
that's right. He's a pretty tough nut. So if you take him on, you got to be prepared for the worst.
You know, you would think it would be something like what they did to Caesar. You know, they all sorts around the guy and knock him off. And so much for that. But of course, the only thing is, you never know what you would get in its place. Now with Fidel Castro, you've got Raul, who might be just as ruthless. I don't know, but. You know, the family, What is he, the grandson? How many of those Kim Jongs have been?
Third generation.
Yeah, there you go.
The grandfather was the founder. The son, you know, was the interim, and now we're on the grandson.
Yes. So they try to shoot off missiles. They seem to go into the ocean and explode, and I don't know how many of them are even successful. In the meantime, if you take a satellite shot at night of North Korea, you don't see any lights on. So it's very, very sad as opposed to South Korea. Is there any relationship being fostered at all between North and South Korea? Has that been as cold as always?
Well, it goes up and down. At the moment, it's pretty cold. I mean, the problem, you know, they went through about 8 years where they gave a policy they called the Sunshine Policy, and they gave upwards of $1 billion in various forms of cash and aid. You know, and it didn't seem to stop the North Koreans. They just kind of chugged ahead. So the last couple of governments have been much more, you know, unwilling to do that for understandable reasons. And after the last nuclear test, basically the South Korean government has cut off most everything. So at the moment, there's very little going between them. They have an election coming up next year. We'll see if, you know, the opposition, the more left-wing party, has a good chance of winning because there's a big political crisis at the moment with the president who's, you know, from the right. But even then, you know, it's not clear what they'll do, and they're much more limited now with all the new sanctions and stuff. It's going to be harder for them to engage the North.
Mm-hmm. So going back to your article, you say instead of attempting to dictate, the United States must persuade China that it is in their interest to assist America and the allies, and that requires addressing China's concerns. So tell us a little bit about that. I mean, are we going to be able to sit down? Do you think Donald Trump might consider that? Do you think he's going to sit down with the Chinese? I mean, I know you don't know for sure, but let's put it this way. Do you think that the current or the upcoming administration might be more willing to do some of this?
Well, there's a possibility. I mean, Trump, number one, has pointed to the Chinese and said they should do this. And he's also a deal maker. So I think the real question comes in, you know, does he understand that, you know, to make a deal, there's give and take? I mean, in essence, the current administration has told the Chinese they should do this. I mean, the basic problem I tell people is that, in a sense, what we're, you know, when we say the Chinese should take care of it, we are telling the Chinese that they should engage in regime change for our benefit. That is, they should get rid of the people we don't like to allow reunification of the peninsula so our friends run it and our troops can be on the Chinese border. Well, from Beijing's standpoint, that's not a very good deal. So my reaction is we've got to understand the Chinese aren't being irrational. They don't want collapse. They don't want millions of refugees across the border. They don't want a reunified peninsula on our terms. So then we have to start talking to them and say, okay, what happens if there's a collapse? What happens if there's a reunified peninsula? And see if we can make a deal where they would look at it and say, okay, we can live with that. You can live with that. Let's move forward. As far as I can tell, we simply have not done that.
Yeah. You know, China's already got this problem going with Taiwan. And, of course, you know, Trump's talked with the leader of the island of Taiwan. That's been an issue that goes back ever since World War II. And we've basically, the United States has said, we will protect that island. I don't know if we really will, but apparently it's one of the things we agreed to do. So I guess, do you think that that might be one of the things that might hamper any discussion about North Korea?
Oh, yeah, and I think that, you know, the kind of what he's done so far in terms of calling up the Taiwanese leader, you know, as one of his calls after the election, could very well be a problem. I mean, I think Taiwan's a wonderful place. It's democratic. It's capitalist. But they basically view it kind of like the North viewed, you know, the Civil War, which is we don't like secession. You can't leave. So if we're going to get in the middle of that, you know, we have a real potential of getting the Chinese quite irritated
yeah.
with us. Well, if they're irritated with us, they're probably not going to help us out on North Korea. And I think this is one of those things. My hope is that once he has a Secretary of State who's confirmed, that, you know, that's one of the things they can sit down and talk about. And I tell people, we simply have to have some priorities.
Yeah.
You know, that if you want to have a trade war with China, you know, if you want to get them all, you know, bent out of shape on Taiwan, you know, good luck getting them doing what you want on North Korea. You know, that you just can't kind of have everything. he's going to have to make some choices, and I don't know what those are, but it does strike me, my hope is that they will sit down, and North Korea should be really high on the priority list. If it is, we're going to have to give on some other stuff, I suspect.
Yes, I think you may be right. Well, Doug, thank you so very much for your input on this very, very interesting, important problem. Doug Bandow from the Cato Institute, where he is a senior fellow there. And we'll look forward to talking with you again soon.
I look forward to it.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, Andrew the Master Barber is going to tell us what he thinks about Rex Tillerson as the next Secretary of State.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
Tune in to the Book Club with John Austin.
Well, I actually taught public speaking, as you probably know, in college for 7-8 years.
You could ask the questions and answer them yourself. I could just sit here.
You ask terrific questions, you listen, and you it's just a joy to work with you.
Well, I love
we should go on the road, you know?
Right, well, I'd be happy to. And
you may not be able to go on the road, but don't worry. We bring the Book Club to you every Tuesday at noon right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
Hello, my name is Tina and I'm with Dove Chocolate Discoveries. I take one-of-a-kind chocolate products like martinis, barbecue sauce, and cinnamon-dusted almonds directly into my host's home to share with their friends and family. My average host ends up getting about $400 worth of free and half-price goodies, and their friends get great deals too. And who doesn't love chocolate? We have many items that cater to all sorts of dietary restrictions. If you'd like to have your own party, give us a call at 813-445-3295. That's 813-445-3295.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on FreedomWorks. And I got to remind you, you're going to have to get your pre-Christmas haircut. Christmas is coming up really soon. You want to look dapper, you guys. And I cannot think of a better place to go for a better price than Andrew the Master Barber. His great shop located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. Just west of the Countryside Mall. You're going to have a great experience there. You, either Andrew or Candy, or you're going to get you're just going to get a great haircut. And the ambiance, the environment, everything works in your favor. So get over there. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2. And Andrew is with us, the Master Barber. And Andrew, there seems to be some flack over Donald Trump's nomination for the Secretary of State position. I did not know this guy, of course, but he is the head of the Exxon Corporation, Rex Tillerson. Do you have any thought on this guy at all? He's apparently
Let me ask you one question.
Yeah.
Anything Trump has done, does he get flack from?
Yeah, he does.
Okay. So who cares?
He can't.
You know, this guy.
He can't come down the elevator without getting flack for it.
That's what I'm saying. Did you see the newspaper this morning? These disgusting freaking people put a whole page in begging the electors to not vote for Trump.
I know.
What is wrong with these people?
This is the last ditch effort by people. They've got Nancy Pelosi talking about it.
They need to put a tomato in that woman's mouth.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Well, she already talks like she's got a tomato lodged in her mouth, in my opinion. But I don't know. It's just, you know, all of a sudden, they're coming out of the woodwork looking for reasons to try to talk the electors from voting the way they're supposed to. That's not going to work. He's going to be he's going to take office on
January 20th. These people need to be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
And they call themselves Americans. If these are Americans, we're the most disgusting people on earth. I'll tell you what, they should be ashamed. This guy won fair and square. They count to waste millions of dollars. They're all upset the guy won.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And do you know what? As of last night, they said he is the most popular elected president we have ever had.
Really? Who said
that? That's right.
Who said that?
It was all over the news.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of early since he's not even...
They're talking about the president-elect.
Oh, president-elect.
They're saying it was the most popular president-elect we have ever had in the history of this country.
I didn't even know they took a survey on that. That's interesting.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, these people just need to get off it. And, well, I was going to say go back to work, but, you know, that'd be a waste of time. But
a lot of them wouldn't have a place to go.
I think he's putting together an all-star group, man. Let's face it.
Okay.
You want successful people to run the government, you got to have successful people there. You tell me one politician that's been on the payroll for the last 20 years that has any of the success any of these people that he is picking had.
No, they are. They're very successful. Now, this guy Rex Tillerson, he seemed to kind of come out of nowhere. I mean, we had all of these other guys, Rudy Giuliani, Mitt Romney, and a bunch of other, Bob Corker. And all of a sudden, this guy shows up and he becomes the nominee. Do you think Donald Trump had this guy waiting in the wings and he was just doing that for show?
Well, who knows? You know, the guy has a method to his madness, like I was saying.
Yeah.
But I believe he's on the right track for everything. I really do.
Well, you know, the stock market is about to hit 20,000. It's never been there, and it's going to do it probably within the next few days. I think people all pretty much agree it's directly attributable to the election of Donald Trump because they think he's going to be kind to business with less regulation and lower taxes on business. It seems to me that you're right, that there is a lot of popularity for this guy, and he's handled himself, I think, extremely well. I mean, he's kind of like he's two different people, you know what I mean? He hasn't been...
This man does what he's got to do to get where he's got to go.
Yeah.
You know what else? I was reading an article yesterday, and I kind of believe this, it was on Politico, where they were saying that the main Republicans, John Kasich, Jeb Bush... who the hell were the other three other ones?
Marco Rubio?
Not Marco Rubio. They said he might have been on the payroll. Did you hear this one?
No.
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
On the Hillary Clinton payroll, they actually put down Trump, man.
Oh.
And John McCain was another one.
Oh.
And you know what? I believe it.
Well, you know, this leads me to the front page story. Have you seen the front page of the Tampa Bay Times?
I just looked at it. I didn't waste my time reading it.
Okay. But PolitiFact Lie of the Year is... Fact Lash. And this is all of these things that come up, these rumors and gossips that come up that have no bearing in or foundation in truth. And so that's the lie of the year. Such things as Pope Francis endorses Donald Trump.
Well, I don't think that's the lie of the year yet.
Hillary.
I think the lie of the year is the Russians did it.
That's a big lie of the year, too, possibly.
I think that's the biggest lie of the year.
Yeah. I don't think the Russians had anything to do with people going into the ballot box and voting for Donald Trump. I mean,
I heard the Russians are hacking Christmas, and they're letting everybody know ahead of time what they're getting.
Well, as a matter of fact, Putin is going to get in the in Santa's, he's going to get up there and come down the chimney and steal the stuff from you rather than give you the stuff.
it just amazes me what these people are a disgrace to the American public.
Yeah.
They really are.
Uh-huh.
The poor Russians getting blamed for everything now. And Julian Assange come right out and says, listen, people, I got news for you. It was one of your own that did it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear who it was.
We're talking with Andrew the Master Barber. What do you think about Rick Perry, Secretary of Energy? Did you know that that was the one department?
Yeah.
He was going to eliminate it, but he couldn't remember it. Remember on stage, he forgot what it was?
That's right.
But now he is one.
That's right. Yeah, let him go. He'll do fine. He'll do fine.
Maybe
the guy hit a brain fart. We all get that.
He may eliminate the Department of Energy while he's heading it. That would be very good, wouldn't it?
You never know.
You know?
Like I say, I'm telling everybody, put on your seatbelts and get ready for the ride, because it's going to be a ride we've never seen before in this country.
Yeah.
And I think the change is all going to be good. Do you notice you don't even hear about Mr. Barack Obama anymore, do you?
I was just going to ask you, do you think that Obama is getting a little, what's the word, peaked? Because he's not getting the attention anymore?
He's not getting nothing. He's realizing what he's been.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He is not getting anything whatsoever on the news.
You got to admit that Donald Trump really knows how to play the media like a fiddle. And he comes down, you know, every day, he comes down the elevator in the Trump Tower and he goes walking out and all those people are there. And he's had Bill Gates, and he's had Kanye, whatever that guy's name is. Why the heck does he have that guy up there? That's
who
crazy.
Who knows? He's showing it. He's not, prejudice, racist?
Yeah.
He's got everybody.
I think that's part of it.
He's got everybody. Kanye West, that's his name.
Kanye West.
Isn't he married to the Kardashians?
He is. Then he went into the hospital, remember, and now he's out again.
Yep.
He endorsed Donald Trump at one point. He actually stood up and said he kind of like Donald Trump. I think just right after that, they put him in the hospital. I'm not sure. But,
but anyway, yeah. I believe he's doing great. Like I said,
okay.
he got all the publicity away from Obama. Obama, people can care less about now. They know that he's been nothing but a frump in office. He's been a disgrace to the presidency. And now they got somebody that's a leader in there.
Now, I know that you will show up if Donald Trump comes down to the Tampa area in his thank you tour. And I wanted to ask you, is one coming up, or what's going on with
that?
Well,
there's one in Orlando Friday, but I'm not going to be able to make that.
Oh,
one.
You're not? Okay.
No, but I believe he's going to come to the Tampa Bay area. I think he has to. He has to come to Pinellas County. We're who won him, man.
Exactly. I would think that if I were Trump, I would for sure come to Pinellas County, because that was critical.
That's right, and I'm waiting for him to get here so I can get my dare out of the way from you guys and get my hat trick.
That's right. You're going
right.
to stand there and have him hold a sign, right?
That's right. Yeah, just
Andrew the Master Barber.
The best barber in the country.
Yeah, well, you are the best barber, at least I know for sure here, and maybe in the country as well. That would be great.
We're going to find out, my friend.
Yeah, we are. Well, Andrew, as always, thank you so very much, my friend, for coming on and talking a little bit about. I'll tell you what, every time you and I come on to talk, something new has occurred, you know, with Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, it's going to happen every day, believe me, for the next 4 years.
All right, my friend.
All right, Paul, you take care.
You do the same, my friend.
All right, bye-bye.
There he goes, Andrew the Master Barber. Oh, yes. And again, get down there for your pre-Christmas haircut. You're going to get a great haircut. You're going to feel so good. And then when the tree and opening the presents, you're going to be very dapper. All right, we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, we're going to tell you what the Kelley Blue Book thinks are the top 10 best cars, their favorite cars for 2016.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
The Rocket Sports and Entertainment Network Show, right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Looking for your sports fix? If it happened in the sports world, we've got it covered right here with your host, Rick Sassone, the Hockey Hottie, myself, Chris Dunn, Travis Failey, and many more. It's the Rocket Sports and Entertainment Network Show, right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
The Rocket Sports and Entertainment Network Show is on Mondays from 1 to 4 p.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Show me the money.
It's the Employment Opportunity Hour with Gene Hodge every Thursday night from 7 until 8.
So the purpose of the show is to help you out there to find something that you enjoy doing instead of a job. And at the start of the show, I normally give out a formula, which I know will guarantee you to find the type of job that you want right now.
Find out the formula to an enjoyable job with Gene Hodge's Employment Opportunity Hour every Thursday night from 7 until 8 here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Show me the money.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works, along with Big Ed Davis. Thank you so very much for joining us. Before we get to the Kelly book, Top Cars for 2016, did promise we were going to talk a little bit about what's going on with nativity scenes and choirs and everything else. Usually this is the time, it used to be a time where all of the choirs and the nativity scenes would come out. I remember when I was growing up, we had this beautiful manger scene that they would put up right in front of City Hall. Well, of course, no longer can you do that. But school children in North Carolina, specifically Wake County, North Carolina, no longer will be allowed to sing Christmas carols at their annual nativity celebration after a complaint was received from the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a Wisconsin-based group of atheists, agnostics, and panhandlers, I guess. The foundation said the performance at the annual Apex Christmas Nativity Celebration was unconstitutional and could not continue. Here's what they had to say. The whole purpose of the event is to display and honor nativity scenes which highlight an exclusively Christian aspect of the holiday season rather than a secular Christmas celebration. Students are intentionally brought to the church to be exposed to hundreds of depictions of the Christian legend of Jesus' birth. Well, yeah, that's why we celebrate Christmas. Allow them to go out and celebrate Christmas. They can celebrate other holidays of different religions at other times. No one is stopping anybody from doing that. But these are a bunch of Christians that want to get together in a choir and sing. What is going on? Is there all logic lost? The school district decided it would be best to ban the student choirs because it would become very costly in trying to fight it. Here is a school district spokesman. No one was particularly happy with the outcome of this. Some schools had been participating for several years. I'm thinking that eventually this worm is going to turn, and it is a worm, keeping Christmas carols and nativity scenes and everything from being able to be placed in public spots. I just think that just common sense will take over again. Like to think so anyway. Not sure that it will ever happen. Meantime, Dallas. If you want to get a job as a policeman, go to Dallas. They are in desperate need of police. Nearly 100 officers in the Dallas Police Department have quit or retired since October. And the department wants to fill the next academy with 60 officers, but so far only 30 are in their class. What's going on there? Well, of course, they had that horrible situation with, what was it, 5 Dallas policemen killed. And most of the 99 that have left now, since October the 1st, were some of the most experienced policemen. So the recruiting departure rate problem, apparently, according to them, stems from the last fiscal year, which ended in September, in which 294 officers left and 142 were hired. I wonder if that's going on in some of the other cities as well. As an example, in Chicago, crime rate's very high in Chicago. I don't think I'd want to be a policeman in Chicago, at least not in the area with all the crime. Now, did you know, we always name ships that we build, warships that we build. How about the USS Deplorable? How would that sound? Well, believe it or not, Secretary of the Navy Ray Mabus has apparently a penchant for doling out interesting names for new warships. There is a petition currently on the White House website suggesting that we name the next major vessel USS the Deplorables. Now, wouldn't that look good on the side of the ship? And it would be, quote, to honor those citizens who rose up and defended America and the Constitution from the globalists. And of course, the name, the Deplorables, as you can imagine, taken from a remark Hillary Clinton made on the campaign trail. She said at the time, you know, just to be grossly generalistic, you could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Boy, did that ever come back to haunt her. So it wouldn't it be great to have that on the side of a ship?
You imagine what the USS Obama would look like? It would have no guns. Just one guy with a megaphone shouting harsh words.
Yeah.
And a couple of big teleprompters up front.
Yeah, there would have to be a couple.
Like rearview mirrors.
There'd be teleprompters all over the ship, as a matter
no
of
guns.
Fact.
No guns.
No guns. So I don't think this has a chance of getting very far, but you never know, right? How would you like to be working on the ship and say, well, I got to get back to the deplorable? I mean, I don't know. It doesn't sound...
No.
I mean, would you... if you had a restaurant, you wouldn't call it deplorable pizza.
No.
Would you?
No.
Deplorable pizza? Although, in this case, everybody would have to be in on it to know why they would say the word deplorable. We talked about the fact that the stock market is about to hit 20,000. And most of the reason, it seems to be, is because of Donald Trump. So things are going very well. I look at the newspapers every morning now. And this newspaper, the Tampa Bay Times, the only one we have left here, does not like Donald Trump. It's a very liberal newspaper. So I'm always looking for how they're going to portray things like when the stock market gets up to 20,000. How are they going to ignore the fact that Donald Trump is the reason it's gotten up that high, you know?
Well, you know, Obama's going to take credit for it.
I don't see how he can.
Well, he will.
Oh.
He'll say,
well, people
look,
are laughing at
I'm
that.
I'm leaving this office with the stock market at 20,000.
Well, you know, in about 5 or 10 years, when people don't remember, the people show up and start saying things like, and when Obama left, the stock market was at 20,000. It was a great tenure for him. And I guess if, you know, far enough away, people might start to believe that that actually occurred. Anyway, I guess it's probably time for our, I got to ask you this. Did you know Alan Thicke, the actor, Dave, were you familiar with him?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch that show, but I knew of him. And then, you know, his son's doing very well in the music industry.
Yes, but, Robin Thicke.
But it was his younger son. He was tragic. He was playing
hockey with him.
Yeah, Alan Thicke was a very big hockey fan.
Yes, he was, from Toronto.
Hockey with his 19-year-old son and collapsed. And
very sad.
69 years old.
Apparently very well-liked.
Yeah.
Very well-liked guy. And he was only 69, as you said. You just got to be careful, man, when you get to that age. You might think you can do it.
You know, I think that's something, some sort of a defect that you don't, you know, he probably never knew about. You know, look what happened to John Ritter. I mean,
you know,
he had, I don't want to say he had the same thing.
Young,
but
heart
he
problem.
Did, he had a,
Bobby Darin
know,
had the
he
problem.
Dropped, you know, and that was it. And they found out he had a heart valve problem.
Yeah. Yeah. People forget that heart attacks are still the number one killer, you know. If you get to a certain age, heart attacks are still the big one. Oh, well. Very
sad. Did
you
say, oh, well?
Huh?
Did you say, oh, well?
I said, oh, well.
Okay. Oh, well, heart attacks.
That's
oh, well.
That's the way it goes. Okay. I mean, what else can you say?
Let's go to the top 10 anyway. All right. Well,
Speaking of Alan Thicke's death, it's time for the top 10. No, there's no good segue when you're talking about somebody that has passed away. But we do have the top 10. This is from the Kelley Blue Book. Everybody goes to the Kelley Blue Book, you know, to look and see what the value of their car is. Well, the Kelley Blue Book has come out with its favorite 2016 cars. There are 10 of them. And I'm not sure exactly. I took them and I looked at the way that they displayed them. And you can't really tell which is number 1 through 10, but these are the top 10. But then they did have a rating. And so I went to the rating and I rearranged them. So we'll go with the rating as to their top 10. So without further ado, here we go. Number 10, the 2016 Cadillac CT6. Now, there's an American car. Ed, you were talking about how many American cars might be on this list. The Cadillac CT6, it got a rating of 8.5 out of 10. That's pretty good. Number 9, the Toyota Prius. I'm not surprised to hear about the Toyota Prius. It's been doing very, very well, thank you, and it got a 9 rating out of 10. Number 8, the Mercedes-Benz GLC. Have you heard of that one? It's a good car, I guess.
No.
No, I haven't either. But it's a Mercedes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually, I'm gonna do something I've never done before. I'm going to go back and tell you that the Honda Pilot was number 10. The Mercedes-Benz GLC is number 9. And now let's do number 8 because I've looked at the right list here. Number 8 is the Volvo XC90. And I'm going by the ratings that it gets. And it got a rating of 8.2 out of 10. So that's why it's number 8. Volvo was always thought of Volvos as cars that were designed for safety in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Good family cars. Number 7. And this is one that Ed thought would be on the list. And it is the Chevy Volt. The Chevy Volt. Now, that is the electric car. And it's doing very well. 8.5 out of 10, by the way. Number 6. Now back to the Cadillac, because here's where it is, really. Cadillac CT6 is number 6, 8.5. Number 5, Honda Civic. You know, there's always a Honda Civic somewhere.
Yep.
It got 8.6. Number 4, now that's where the Toyota Prius is. See, I screwed this whole thing
up.
Toyota Prius got 9 out of 10. That's why it's number 4, the Prius. All right. Is that semi-electric? You know?
Prius.
Is that one of those?
I believe that's what, a hybrid.
It's a hybrid. That's what I meant. Yeah, it is. Number 3. The Honda HR-V. Honda HR-V. It got a 9.4 out of 10. Very, very good. Number 2. Our first Korean car, the Kia Optima. Kia Optima. 9.9.
Wow.
Boy, you know, we used to laugh at those Korean cars. We're not laughing anymore. They're doing very well.
Nope.
Of course, we used to laugh at Japanese things. Then they started making good cars.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here we go. The number one favorite car of Kelly Blue Book for 2016 is the Mazda MX-5 Miata. It also got a 9.9. Mazda. They used to have rotary engines. I don't know if they still do. You know, in the front.
I don't know. You know what I saw on the road the other day?
What?
A Ford Pinto.
Wow. Man. They've been out of...
In pretty good shape, too. No smoke billowing out of the back or anything like that.
Well, I had...
All the wheels were intact.
Years ago, we had a Pinto. I think it was a 1979 Pinto. God. And at one time, they were popular.
And then another history
lesson.
They
really were.
Last night, I was watching my Moonshiners... on Discovery.
Oh, okay.
And this guy had a Chevy Suburban or something. It was so old that the shift column was up around the steering wheel.
Really?
Remember how they used to? I've never driven like that, but you know they used to shift with the where you pull it into park.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that was the sure. That's where the manual transmission was.
Wow,
too.
You don't see those anymore.
No,
that's been a long, long time.
I would be lost in that thing.
I know. And we learned in high school. That's how we learned. We would sit in these little machines and learn. Anyway, my friends, we thank you very much for joining us. Stay tuned for Dining Out Radio with Kenny, and we will be back on Friday, God willing. Freedom works. Bye for now.